going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What are they gonna do? Will the Atlanta Falcons stay at 15, do the right thing, and take the best defensive lineman on the board? Or will they trade down? Or will they dare take an offensive lineman? You know how I feel about it. Let's see what our next guest has to think. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10 o'clock weeknights here on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Frank Schwab, insider for Yahoo Sports. He also does a great podcast, Inside Coverage. Make sure you check that out at Yahoo Sports or anywhere you get your podcast. Frank, appreciate the time. As always, I've been asking everybody I've been having on over the past couple of weeks and really even months now, so I'll get your take on it here first. Shedeur Sanders has been the guy that's really stolen all the hype this draft, but in terms of his play as an actual quarterback, where do you have him right now?
I mean, I like Shedeur, and I'm based out here in Colorado, so I've been exposed to him a lot. Maybe that influences me, but I look at him as an accurate, tough, smart quarterback that would be a good starter, maybe not a great starter. I don't think Shedeur is ever going to win MVP or anything, but I like him generally, but I don't think the NFL does. There's just been no positive buzz about Shedeur leading up to the draft. There's no report of, oh, actually, this team really likes Shedeur, or, hey, the Steelers might move up to get Shedeur, like we see with a lot of other guys. There's just nothing. And I think it boils down to this. I think only one quarterback's going to go in the first round, really, and maybe two.
Okay.
I think the NFL has been trying to tell us for weeks, we don't like these quarterbacks, aside from Cam Ward, who I think is really, really good. The NFL, like every time you turn around, it's something negative about the rest of the class. There's not a lot of buzz. The Saints seem to be out on all their quarterbacks, even though they don't have one. The Steelers don't seem to be jumping up and down to get a quarterback. So I just wonder if we're going to – I think the media, and I'm guilty of this as anybody, has just pushed all these quarterbacks up because we look at the quarterback position as this all-important thing. But I think these NFL teams are just saying, we don't like these guys. We'd rather just wait till 2026. We don't want to burn an important draft asset to get a quarterback we really don't like. And I don't know. Maybe I'll be wrong. There's five quarterbacks in the first round. I mean, the quarterback is quarterback, and it sometimes gets unpredictable. Guys do get pushed up. But I just don't think this class is very good. And Sanders is the guy we're all waiting on. I don't know. I don't know what happens to him, but I can totally see him falling out of the first round at this point because I don't know where he really fits. If the Saints aren't in on him at 9, and it seems like they're not at this point, like unless they're doing a great job with the smoke screens and they really like him. If he's not their guy at 9, then you're saying if the Steelers don't take him at 21, there's one of those teams that doesn't like Shedeur Sanders that had a fourth round grade on him like some other teams did, then where does he go? Try matching it up. There's no other team from 10 to 32 that really makes sense for Shedeur Sanders. So, yeah, I could see him going in the second round, and that would be, oh boy, Friday morning would be a spicy one on every single talk show, podcast, everything out there, because everybody would be talking about Shador Sanders.
Yeah, as if we don't have enough to talk about this time of year. That would just be the icing on the cake, on the cake, as we're talking to our buddy Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports NFL. Check out his podcast. It's a really, really good one, inside coverage. Okay, so you mentioned Pittsburgh. What did you make of the Aaron Rodgers debacle last week on McAfee? And do you think he is the guy that's eventually going to wind up in Pittsburgh?
I think he will, because even, you know, you saw reports coming out of Pittsburgh that the Steelers aren't really worried about what he said on McAfee or whatever. But I don't know. I watched it like everybody else and kind of, I think, had the same takeaways most people of, this guy isn't really your answer. If you're not excited to go play NFL football, like I always go back to a line. I don't know who said it originally, but I always enjoy repeating it. If you think about retiring as an NFL player, you're already retired.
Yep.
There's just,
yep.
There, you know, once that thought, that it doesn't always have, like Gronkowski came back and all that kind of stuff. I get it. It's not a blanket statement, but I think the spirit behind it is true. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is sounding like a guy that really doesn't care about playing football right now. And that's fine. He's got a lot of other stuff going on, and I want to be respectful of that. But if you're the Steelers, and look, the train ain't stopping. The NFL isn't going to stop and say, yeah, we'll give you an extra month to let Aaron Rodgers figure it out while you get your stuff in order. I think the Steelers have to say we're out. We are out right now. And if Aaron Rodgers comes back in July and says, hey, I'm ready to sign $10 million, just like I said, I think you started at square one if you're the Steelers and say, okay, we went about another plan. We either traded for Kirk Cousins or drafted Jackson Dart or whatever they're going to do in the next few weeks. Do we still have a need for Aaron Rodgers? I think you start all over with the process again. And if you come up with the answer of yes, and I think that's perfectly reasonable, Aaron Rodgers played good ball at the end of last season. I think that's really underrated. I think everybody thinks Aaron Rodgers has looked completely washed up last year, and he did not. In the last 10 games, I think he had 18 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, if I'm not mistaken. He was a pretty good quarterback in the last half of last year, and he gives the Steelers the best chance to win. But I don't think the Steelers can wait anymore. I just think they need to say, you know what, if it works out, it works out, but we need to go ahead like this is not going to happen.
All right, if you're the Jaguars, I think they have three options. They either take a protector for Trevor Lawrence, they take a weapon for Trevor Lawrence, or they take an instant impact defender that's going to help the defense be better to keep Trevor Lawrence in games. Which route do you think they go there?
I think they trade down if they can. That's the thing. I don't know if anybody's trading up. That's a problem. I keep pitching this Genty fantasy with the Broncos where they move up from 20 because Sean Payton loves moving up in the draft, and they've done nothing at running back all offseason. And Genty's obviously on a different plane than everybody else. But I don't know. There's been no movement. And so I think the Jaguars are going to try to move down. I think that's why all this stuff is getting leaked out this week, that they love Genty, they love McMillan, they love this guy, they love that guy. I think they're trying to get anybody interested in trading up right now. If you have to stay there and just draft somebody, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know that they're in a position to draft Genty. If I'm drafting Ashton Genty that early, I want to feel like I'm a playoff team, or I'm a running back away from being a playoff team. I don't know if that's true with the Jaguars. I don't know if it's true with the Raiders at six either. If you draft somebody to protect him, I guess that's probably what I would do. But Mason Graham, it's being a five is no man's land. It's kind of a three-person draft between Ward and Hunter and Carter. And after you pass those three, it's like, whatever, there's not much difference between number 4, number 14, and maybe even number 24. It's just one of those drafts where I don't think there's a ton of blue chip difference makers, and I think the Jaguars are just kind of stuck in no man's land at 5.
Then that's a perfect lead into my next question. The Falcons, if they don't trade down themselves, they're going to pick at 15. So in your opinion, there's not a ton of difference between a Shamar Stewart, a Mike Green, a Michael Williams,
yeah,
a James Pierce?
Not really. I like Michael Williams, I guess, the best out of those guys you just named. Mike Green has quite an upside, but also red flags. And that's what happens when you're drafting 15th in a draft that's kind of flat. Like, there's not a lot of blue chip guys. It's just...
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Kind of, hey, yeah, you're going to draft a good solid starter probably, but your chances of getting a difference maker of 15 are probably pretty low in this draft. I mean, but they need anybody. I think you led in with it. If the Falcons don't draft a pass rusher in the first round, like, what are we doing here? How many times are we going to sit here and talk about the Falcons need to get a pass rusher that can make a difference? How many years in a row are we going to have to say that before it finally actually happens? And, you know, Leonard Floyd's great, fine, but you really need somebody to build that defense around. It needs to happen. And I think there's enough guys. All the guys you mentioned. You know, Shamar Stewart did not produce much in college, but the measurables are off the charts. And Mike Green did produce in college. And, you know, if Michael Williams falls to them, I think that should be a snap pick. I don't even think you think twice. You just run that card up to the podium. So you're going to get somebody who can give you some juice, but your chances of getting like a T.J. Watt out of that spot, I don't think are very good. But they got to start taking chances. And maybe you could just put enough 8 sack guys together that it's, you know, it makes up for not having a 12, 13 sack guy.
Yeah. I did the math, as scary of a proposition as that is, Frank. And for anybody who missed it earlier, the projected starting defensive end duo for the Falcons, if they don't take somebody in the draft, is projected to combine for 14 sacks. So that just goes to show you everything that you need to know about the state of the defensive line for the Falcons. All right, a couple more before I let you go here as we're talking with our good buddy Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports NFL. The Cowboys made some glaring declarations the other day with Jerry Jones about these potential super mega trades that are coming down the pike. even if they do a super mega trade or two, Frank, is there any shot that they're no best than third in their division behind the Eagles and Commanders?
Yeah, I think you could comfortably slot them there. Although I will say this. Look, the Cowboys won 12 games, 3 straight seasons, and they had a bad year. But a lot of that skeleton is still around. I mean, it's not like they've lost so much off of those teams that won 36 games over 3 years that you can sit here and say, yeah, the Cowboys, there's no chance they make the playoffs. I think the Cowboys actually are a decent bounce back candidate. And the draft matters. They're probably going to end up drafting a lineman, but I just look at this team and the way the board kind of probably will be, boy, if they drafted a stud receiver, McMillan at 12, come back with a running back in the second round, a Henderson, somebody like that, wouldn't this team just look a lot better on paper? They just don't have a lot of juice outside of CeeDee Lamb on that offense. And I know that's kind of a square mindset that, oh, just draft a running back, draft a receiver. But the Cowboys really need it. That's what they need. They don't need linemen. They need somebody that can actually get yards and score the football. So I think that if the Cowboys have the right draft and have a couple difference makers on offense, and Dak is healthy again and Schottenheimer's not a total disaster, I think the Cowboys could be good. And who's to say the Commanders don't take a step back? There's a lot of holes on that roster. I was beating the drum for the Commanders a year ago. It's one of the few things I got right. I said the Commanders could be really, really good because Jaden Daniels is awesome. But there's no guarantee they don't take a step back. So I haven't given up on the Cowboys being a good team in 2025. I want to see their draft. I want to see what they do. But it hasn't been that long ago. Everybody wants to pour dirt on their graves, and I get it. They're the Cowboys. They're fun to dunk on and all that. But the Cowboys were a good football team for a long time before it all fell apart last year. So let's see if they can rebound. I'm not counting that out at all.
After everything shakes out, do the Vikings hand the keys over to McCarthy officially?
I don't see why not. I think it'd be crazy for them not to. I think it'd be, you drafted this guy for a reason. He was talented enough. We didn't see a lot of him last year, but the one preseason game was pretty good. And I thought they went about absolutely the correct way. So we had a quarterback on his rookie deal. We're going to get him as much help as we can. They signed offensive linemen. They went out and re-signed some of the defensive guys, added to the defense. They re-signed Aaron Jones, run the ball. They really did everything they could with the cap savings from letting Darnold go that I think they put McCarthy in a good position to succeed. Now see it through. There's, as long as he's healthy, and I don't know their medicals on him right now, and maybe he's more banged up than we think and all that kind of stuff. But if he's healthy, I think the Vikings owe it to themselves to see it through. Don't bring Aaron Rodgers to muck up the process. I don't even know why that was even floated out there for so long. Just see what you have in McCarthy. Maybe he got something special. He's a good quarterback in college. Again, you traded up to get this guy in the draft. Trust your scouting. See it through. Assuming he's healthy, yeah, I think McCarthy is their guy, and I think he's going to be pretty good. He's got a ton of talent around him.
All right, Frank, before I let you go, last one. One calendar year from now, Brock Purdy will be making $40 million or more as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, goodness, yes. You could have said 50. I don't think I would have thought it through. Like, once the 49ers come out and say, yeah, we're going to pay you, they got no more leverage. They've already said, yeah, everybody has said. York has said it. Lynch has said it. I think Shanahan has said it. Yeah, we're going to pay Brock Purdy. Well, the going rate of a quarterback is $55 million. So, yeah, 40 is easy. I think 50, maybe they can negotiate it down and get a friendly deal. But, yeah, I don't agree with that. I try to always put this out there without, like, trashing Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy is good. I think he's a good fit. I also do not believe the 49ers could win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy making $50-plus million a year. I just don't. I there's only a few quarterbacks that I could say that about where, yes, you pay him, and you can still put a good enough team around him to succeed at the highest level. I just don't think Purdy's that guy. I don't. I think their cheat code is Kyle Shanahan, and if I was the 49ers, I would say, Kyle, we're going to draft a couple more quarterbacks in the middle rounds of this draft, and you turn them into the next Brock Purdy. That's your job. You're good at it. And so but I know that no matter what I say, it doesn't matter, obviously. The 49ers are going to pay him, and he's going to be well over $40 million. Good or bad, they're going down that road, I think.
Frank, I couldn't agree more. That's why I set the bar low, because I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with him making that much money. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with him making $40 million because of all the extra help you're going to need around him. So that's just where I fall on that one. All right, appreciate the time as always. We'll make sure to check out the pod, especially this weekend as all things draft are cooking. Frank Schwab, Yahoo NFL. Appreciate it, my friend.
Absolutely, appreciate it too.
All right, that is Frank Schwab there. When we get back, oh, we're not done. We're just getting started, baby. Come on, man. We're going to have five true and false questions from Oren next hour. You're going to hear from Emery Hunt. He joined the midday show. But coming up next, one of my favorite follows on Twitter, John Ledyard's going to join me. He's a draft analyst, has his own podcast. I am excited to chat with him. To me, he's one of the best going right now, and you're not going to want to miss what he has to say. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10 o'clock on Sports Radio, 99 The Game, Odyssey app.